sire of nations bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace.
The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. Amen. Gentle woman, quiet light, morning star, so strong and bright. Gentle mother, peaceful dove, teach us wisdom, teach us love. You were chosen by the Father. You were chosen for the Son. You were chosen from all women and for woman. Gentle woman, quiet light, morning star, so strong and bright. Gentle mother, peaceful dove, teach us wisdom, teach us love.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed in a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. As you can probably still tell, I have a cold, which I acquired in Texas, in San Antonio, very most likely, almost certainly from our twin grandchildren down there. But I'm doing well. I'm doing a heck of a lot better than when the alarm went off at 4:30. I didn't think I'd still be here. But a blessed Advent to us all. How incredible. We hear the story of Elizabeth and Mary on the fourth Sunday of Advent every year, every third year. So some of us have heard it 10 times or more. It's so very familiar and so very incredible. We have now reached the fourth Sunday in Advent, almost the end of Advent. Christmas is in 6 days. When we made our way through Advent, we took things in reverse. Let's briefly review Advent this year. In the first Sunday of Advent, Jesus talked about the end of days. One might say that Jesus was prophesying. On the second and third Sundays, we met John the Baptist, and he was most certainly prophesying and preaching as well as baptizing. And now, moving backwards in time, we hear about a pregnant Mary and a pregnant Elizabeth, months before John or Jesus are born. Mary and Elizabeth, I claim, were the first prophets in the Gospels. And shortly after Jesus' birth, Simeon and Anna also prophesied at the temple. All these people, all four of them, however, are of no real consequence. Mary and Elizabeth, people of no importance. They were, of course, women in that age. Mary, a pregnant, unmarried teenager. And Elizabeth, who's past menopause, has never been able to have a child and suffered the social issues of that, and the wife of a backcountry priest. But Elizabeth is so supportive of Mary, and Elizabeth prophesizes. Quote, it says, "Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" Elizabeth is the first prophet in the Gospels, the first to recognize the Messiah even before he was born. But we could claim perhaps that John was the first prophet because he recognized Jesus when he kicked his mother. People expected a warrior king who would crush the Roman oppressors and reestablish the kingdom as the kingdom of David. But this was not to be. Entirely different Messiah. In those days, when women were little more than property and given by their fathers to their new husband, in that time, the angel Gabriel came directly to Mary without even checking in with dad or the fiancé to tell her that she was chosen, the one chosen to carry the Messiah, to be, in Greek, the Theotokos. God often, perhaps always, chooses people of no account to carry God's message. Reverend William S. Bennett, former senior pastor at Longview, Massachusetts, UCC Church, writes, quote, "God gives Mary and Elizabeth two things they each lacked, community and connection. God removes their isolation and helps them to understand themselves more fully as part of something larger than their individual destinies." Well-known author Brian McLaren goes on to say, and I paraphrase, that God aligns with creative feminine power of womanhood rather than the violent masculinity of statehood. This is made clear in the words of the Magnificat. The top-down patriarchy is subverted by the creative power of pregnancy, not by counter-revolutionary violence. Mary surrenders her will to God's possibilities, accepting that the impossible is possible. Yolanda Pierce has a different perspective on Mary. I've just finished reading Reverend Dr. Pierce's powerful book, In My Grandmother's House. I had to borrow this because my copies are electronic. This book was recommended by the St. James Racial Justice and Reconciliation Commission. Reverend Dr. Pierce, who, by the way, earned her PhD down the road at Cornell, is the Dean of the School of Divinity at Howard University, the first woman ever to hold that post in 150 years of that school. It is, as I said, a powerful book, telling stories of those living on the underside of history and how the traditions of those mothers and grandmothers in the church, who themselves grew up in the dark shadow of slavery, formed her, the author, as a strong, intelligent, independent Black woman. Three times Dr. Pierce's book brought me to the verge of tears. One of these times was her discussion of Mary. Dr. Pierce and I were both brought up in Protestant churches, where the Virgin Mary was little more than an afterthought. Mariology, the theology surrounding the mother of Jesus, was a Catholic domain. The clear tendency in my church, and I believe also in Dr. Pierce's childhood church, was to rush past the pregnancy, to focus on the manger, the sheep, the shepherds, the angels, and the star. Quoting from Dr. Pierce's book, Theotokos, Mary is called in Greek the God-bearer. She is an unwed, pregnant teenager. Given those circumstances, there's a very real possibility that she would become a social outcast upon the news of her pregnancy, her miraculous pregnancy. Not simply that her fiancé would, quote, put her away, but that the entire community would turn their backs on her, community that was in which she was raised. How many of her relatives and friends failed to believe the extraordinary news concerning the conception of her child? Not simply that Jesus is the promised Messiah, but that she conceived the child while still a virgin. In a culture where a young woman belongs to either her father or her husband, God alters the course of Mary's life without notification or consultation with either father or husband. Continuing in the book, quote, "And why do we fail to reverently pause in the story when the angel appears to Mary and attempts to reassure her with the words, 'Do not be afraid,' or as some translations put it, 'Fear not.' Why do we not take seriously the idea that Mary is terrified? Terrified to find out that she's been chosen for this momentous task, which she neither has sought nor requested. What if the angel's words were not mere reassurance, but acknowledgement that anyone in this circumstance would tremble in fear?" End quote. Mary was a teenager earlier in her teen years when she carried Jesus and when she said yes to God. And I'd point out Elizabeth was rather old when she said yes to God. Neither of them, even ignoring the social pressures of their unusual circumstances and pregnancies, could count on the child surviving even a year, given nutrition and health care in those days, which were not adequate. Whatever Mary's fears, uncertainties, and perhaps doubts, she breaks into song, magnifying the Lord. There are clear parallels in her song with the song of Hannah, sung in the Old Testament. Hannah was unable to conceive, and when she finally did, she broke into a song of praise and rejoicing. Remember Hannah and Hannah's song, and her son Samuel, because we'll come back to them on February 6th. Same time, same station. In her book, Yolanda Pierce finds powerful parallels between the challenges faced by the pregnant, unmarried, dark-skinned teenager and the challenges faced by black women trying to survive in this dominant white culture. Dr. Pierce finds a tenderness in Mary's story that gives her hope, and that her prayer, Dr. Pierce's prayer, is that black women find a faith in God that is not predicated on superhuman endurance of systematic injustice. In Mary's prayer, Mary's song, she uses a tense of the verb that these things of God has already done. Mary sings, God has lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things. God has scattered the proud and brought down the powerful. These are revolutionary words. As Lutheran pastor Naveen Saras says, quote, the Magnificat demonstrates that God is concerned with the social and political reality of the daily life of the Jews, and God acts on behalf of the oppressed and against the proud and powerful. End quote. 42 years ago, on this very fourth Sunday in Advent, Archbishop and Saint Oscar Romero preached these words, quote, Mary reveals herself as a model for those who refuse to submit passively to adverse circumstances in their personal and social lives. End quote. Oscar Romero filled the hungry and lifted up the lowly, and he ended up as an enemy of the state in the existing order, just as Jesus. The pregnancy is surprising. The arrival is surprising. The author of Hebrews writes that Jesus came to offer himself. He arrives and thwarts every expectation by offering himself as a sacrifice, rather than sacrificing the Romans at the edge of his own sword. This changes everything. The Messiah we have changes what kind of people we are. Unlike earlier revolts and victories, the King of Israel does not come in violence. His mission instead is to create a world where all of humanity can be in full participants in the family of God. This means that his people will be known by peace and not by violence. Our ethic will be measured by self-giving love rather than keeping the law. Quoting McLaren again, in this Advent season, this season of awaiting and pondering the coming of God and Christ, let us light a candle for Mary. And let us in our own hearts dare to believe the impossible by surrendering ourselves to God, courageously cooperating with God's creative pregnant power in us, for us, and through us. If we do, then we, like Mary, will become pregnant with holy aliveness. We present ourselves to God, our bodies, our stories, our futures, our possibilities, and even our limitations. Here I am, we say with Mary, the Lord's servant. Let it be with me according to your will. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Journey of faith. All are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamessKAN.org.